Grace, Andy, Miao, Stanley, Megan, Ruby, Michelle, and the rest of our friends and participants who shared their insight and took the time to be interviewed. Note, some of the names of participants have been changed for privacy reasons.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views of the Asia Pacific Foundation of Canada.
If you're just tuning in, you were just listening to the Youth Element on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at UBC.
The Youth Element is a podcast series about millennials in East Asia with your co-hosts, Linda
and Justin. For more information about this series, visit asiapacific.ca/podcast or find us on Twitter at Youth Element.
You can also download our podcast, The Youth Element, on iTunes and Google Play.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and you are listening to me, Neetu Dao, and we are located on the Musqueam's traditional and unceded territory here in Vancouver, and also the Coast Salish people. So I'm Neetu Dao. I'm your host today for my show, Convictions and Contradictions, also known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled. Ironically. So my show is a new show, so a little introduction beforehand. My show is about social observations that I make, also observational comedy, I guess. I've never really been able to pin down a definition of what it is. So I'm new, so take it easy on me a little bit. So today I'm hoping to talk about three things. Object and two actions. I know it's very charade-y, and this is not really a game. Well, maybe you can think of it that way. But we're going to start with an object. And that object is a laptop. Like me, I'm a student here at UBC, so I go to lectures, I go to my classes, or like most students do, or at least some students do, go to their classes. And there's a difference between the students. There's one critical difference between them. Like me, I personally take written notes whenever I am in the classroom. So I have yellow legal pads because in high school, you always had to use white paper. Although I never tried to break that norm and go for different colored paper. But it was just a tradition to have white paper. So I decided in university, I'm going yellow. I'm going bright yellow, a bright happy color. It'll help me through the long and hard journey of university. Yellow, the color of the sun, associated with happiness. So I decided I'm going yellow. I'm going yellow legal pads. And legal pads because I had this teacher in high school. His name was Mr. Westfall. And he was a former lawyer, and he taught a law class at my high school. And I just thought, legal pads, legal teacher. I thought it'll be just kind of a cool connection to have. But anyway, so I take written notes, but other students take notes on laptops. That's where the object comes in. They take notes on laptops, and me and others take notes on paper. And that's a critical difference, because studies have actually found that students who take written notes, like me, do better in their classes compared to students who take notes on laptops. And this is shown through studies, like psychology studies. This has been proven or is proven now until someone comes up with an experiment that disproves it somehow. But yeah, but what happens is when someone is taking notes on a laptop, they can get easily distracted. Because when you're in a laptop, you have so much access to so many different things. You can easily go on Facebook. You can easily start reading articles. You just have so much access to things that can distract you. Whereas when you're writing notes like me, all your kind of devices are put away. Like my phone is put away, or say your iPod is put away, your laptop is put away if you keep it with you. It's all put away. So all the distractions are away. And you're more able to focus because all you have is the paper and the pen. It's just easier to focus. But then students who take written notes are affected by students who take notes on laptops, because students with laptops and students who take notes aren't placed in the classroom. It's not like laptop taking students are on the right and then people who take written notes are on the left. No, we're all mixed and matched. So what I try to do is I try to sit in a position where I know that the people who are sitting in front of me and next to me don't have laptops with them, because I know I'm going to get distracted. Excuse me. I know I'm going to get distracted, because as soon as I look at their screen and they're doing different things, I just know I'm going to get distracted. And once I look at it, studies have said that I will get distracted for at least 5 minutes. So there's this big difference between us. And I would really appreciate if most people took written notes, but that's not the way it's going to go, because some people like taking notes on laptops. And what some teachers do, or at least a lot of psychology professors do this, where they instruct the class of those who take notes on laptops to sit in the back. Because that way, us who take written notes will not get distracted, and will not have to have those consequences that come from laptop use. Because most of us who do take written notes probably know about that research, probably know about those statistics, and for those reasons, they're taking written notes. And then when someone in front of you has a laptop and you're taking written notes, it kind of negates that whole idea. But here is the real problem. People who take notes on laptops have to sit in the front. You know why? Because all of that laptop use is causing them to have bad eyesight. So they have to sit in the front. There is no choice. They have to sit in the front in order to see the lecture, in order to see the slides and everything. And it's horrible for the rest of us who take written notes. Because then we have to deal with their distractions, and I really don't like that. I always try to avoid them, but like yesterday I was in a class and I was kind of late, but I was still on time. The professor had not started. I need to get into this habit of saying professor, not teacher. I'm still in a high school mode, I guess. But the professor hasn't started yet, but I'm late. So I come in and I usually sit in the aisle seat, because when you sit in the aisle, you're more guaranteed that a person with a laptop's not near you. But this time I had to take an inner seat because there was no aisle seats left. And I sat down and a person was next to me and he pulled out a laptop and I was just like, no. And it's hard to like move seats after that to get up and go somewhere else. Because then that's seen as, like, kind of rude. Like, why are you getting up and leaving? Are you against men? Do you not? Then maybe race or age might come into the equation. But that's not it. I'm just thinking about my studies. I'm just thinking that this person having a laptop is going to distract me. So I'm going to move. So, yeah. But I think it's really just an issue of seating. I think the issue of seating comes up a lot in society. Or maybe it just comes up a lot for me. I think it does, a lot. Like, whenever I go into the classroom, I have to decide where I'm going to sit. Like many other students who take written notes, they have to decide where to sit. The people with laptops are taking the front, so we have to try to steal them from them. Or trying to find a space that gives us a little gap between all of the laptops. Between all of the objects. But really, I think it's an issue with seniors, which I think about a lot. And it doesn't only apply to the university area and to the university classrooms. It works in different places. And not only with the object. This moves on to the action. The second action, which is seating. What happens is when you say you go to a waiting room of some sort, say you go to a doctor's office, say you come in and you sign in or whatever you have to do to, sign in for your appointment or if it's a walk-in clinic or whatever, come in, you sign in, you're about to sit down. What is important is how many other people are in the room. So you sign in and say there's only one person there. If you go and sit next to that person, then you are automatically seen as creepy. This is an issue of seating where there's only one person and you go sit next to them. You are seen as creepy because that is not the norm of society. You should not go and sit right next to a person. If the room is empty, just like one other person, then you feel the need to sit far away from them. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thinks about this kind of stuff, but I feel like others do. It's a contradiction. That's why I named the show Convictions and Contradictions. Because I have this conviction that you guys also think this kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's a contradiction because I'm thinking maybe you don't think about these kinds of things. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I can't read your minds, unfortunately. But I have this feeling that you do. I feel like you would feel like you do. But I don't know for sure. I wish I did know for sure. But I have to just keep running with this and believe that you also understand what I'm trying to say. So you feel like the society's norms just kind of say that you have to sit far away from this person. Why? Because if you sit next to that person, it feels like you're trying to get really friendly with that person, which is not what you should do at a doctor's office. You should avoid each other in social situations, which is weird because we're in a society and it'll be kind of nice to get to know each other, but that is not the norm. You should sit far away from each other. But say the room is more filled. There are more people in the room. More seats are filled. Then what do you do? Say there's a seat empty. One seat, that is it. Then you have to kind of... No, let's say it's kind of full, but there are still spaces in between. What you have to do is you have to sit in a seat that is one seat of distance between another person. So in order to kind of sit down, you need, say there's five chairs. The two at the end are people are sitting in those chairs. You have to sit in the one directly in the middle. If you decide to sit on either side, then that's a problem. Because then you're creepy because they're like, there's room right there, sit there. At least this is what I think they're thinking. I don't know, maybe I would think this, I don't know. Because we know the norms. But say a kid went in there and tried to sit down, he probably wouldn't care about norms. He would just sit wherever was closer, whichever side had toys, because some doctor's offices have toys. And then the mother, or say the father, has to go follow the child. And everybody understands, like, oh, I understand, you don't have to follow the norm. Because you have a child, you have to follow the child. So he's your responsibility, so you kind of have to go that way. Yeah, but that's usually what happens. I feel like everybody kinds of thinks of these kinds of things. But say the room is like chock full. It's like really, really full. And let's say there's a couple of seats that are open. And this is where gender kind of comes into play for me. I think gender is an aspect of this seating issue. Where say there's one empty seat on one side of the room and there's another on the other side of the room. And one of them has females on the two sides of that seat. Another one has two males on the other side of the seat. And say I'm a female. I identify as a female. So if I were to sit next to the females, that's fine. That's the norm. It's okay to sit there. But if I were to go sit in between the guys, that seat is creepy. Like maybe I'm really into the guys or something like that. it's just not seen as normal or the norm to do that. The norm is to sit in a seat where you don't offend anybody and where you can kind of stay neutral in the situation. So I definitely think that gender does come into play at times like that. Like whenever I'm at, say, an eye doctor's office also, it's not only the doctor's office. And you know what I notice? This is kind of a sign up, but whenever I go to a doctor's office, I feel like no one looks sick. I don't know. It's the doctor's office. You're going there because you have an illness, because you are sick. But I feel like no one's sick. I don't know. When I go, I'm always sick. That's the only reason to go to the doctor's office. But I feel like that. I feel like no one's sick because they don't look sick. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm pretty sure that's pretty obvious. I'm not a doctor. I know like nothing about medical stuff. I just know if you get a cut, you know, you clean it, you put on the Band-Aid. But that's, a lot of people might be against Band-Aids because, have you seen there on Netflix? There's this new series called The Stand-Ups, and there's one stand-up, but Dean Cole, I believe that's how you say it, and he talks about Band-Aids, how all Band-Aids, here's a little insight for you from him, not from me, which is that Band-Aids are all skin flesh colored, and they match Caucasian skin or whiter skin. And he talks about how there's no black Band-Aid. And I think it's pretty funny. I think it's funny that I never noticed that there's only one color of Band-Aid. Like, some of them are, like, see-through clear. But, and then some of them have, like, you know, Hello Kitty and Scooby-Doo. And these are all old cartoons. Because I don't know the newer cartoons. But, you know, the newer cartoons are on there, too. But, yeah, he kind of brings up that issue. But anyway, coming back to the issue of seating and to gender issues. But actually, coming back to the side note, coming back to, I don't think people are really sick. I just don't see it. Whenever I go to a doctor's office, they don't look sick. I mean, when I usually go to a doctor's office, it's because I have like a flu or something with my period or something like that. But it's different when you go to a hospital. Hospital's different. When you go to the hospital, you know those people are sick because they look sick. They do. They look really sick. To me, they look very sick. Like, I broke my leg. Or rather, I broke my knee about a little over a year ago, I think now. It's almost the second year anniversary, I guess. So, more than a year. About a year and a half ago, I broke it. And I broke it for a stupid reason. Well, it wasn't on purpose. Well, we never know. But I jumped off a swing from too high, and I landed on my one leg, and then my bone broke. So, well, it was more of like a fracture. But I broke my knee, and I went to the hospital a few times. And the one time I went, there was this girl who dislocated her shoulder. I was talking to her a little bit. I think she was playing tennis or something. I know she was playing some sort of sport. She dislocated her shoulder. And she looked sick. She looked very, very sick. She was in much distress, you could tell. But okay, away from the side note now. The point is that when you go to a doctor's office, people don't actually look sick. But they are sick. Possibly. No, they are sick. But back to the issue of seating. So I think gender is a play, but I think that's more in waiting rooms and like the doctor's office, the dentist's office. It's not only medical, medical ways. It's also in like maybe like an interview or something like that. Or maybe just like here we have at UBC, we have arts advising, but there's also like science advising. When you go for that, you also have to sit down and wait. But another place you can think about seating, or maybe not really seating, but it's kind of similar. It's like, I go to the gym, not as often as I would like, but I'm going, I'm trying to be fitter. If this was a TV show, you could clearly tell that I'm not the fittest person in the world. I'm okay. I think I'm okay. But I want to get better. I want to get to the place I used to be. Because when I broke my leg, I gained, like, all this weight. And then I came to university, and then I didn't have time to, like, try to build, to burn it off. Not with real fire. But now I'm trying to do it. I've kind of know university now, so I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to bring it down. What happens for me at the gym is, like, when I'm deciding, like, what treadmill to go on, or what elliptical to go on, or what, you know, stationary bike to go on. Say all the treadmills are kind of full. It's kind of like the similar thing here. Say there are, like, two gaps. And say it doesn't really, for this case, it doesn't, I don't think gender comes into play that much. I think it's more about how fit the other person is. Well, to me, it matters more how fit that person is. Like, say, if one space is, like, next to, you know, girls who are maybe around my weight, maybe a little bit more. Another one where there's, like, a girl and a guy who are, like, really buff, and you can tell they're very fit and probably flexible and probably know all these cool exercises. I would probably go to the treadmill that is in between the girls who are more like me. Because I feel like at the gym, it's more like intimidation. I feel like if I were to go into that space between the two buff and very physically fit people, then I would feel very intimidated by them. My self-esteem would go down. I would feel like, why am I at the gym? I'm just annoying these people by here. They're really fit. They really need it. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm thinking, no, I'm the one who really needs it. I'm the one who's trying to lose weight. You're already fit. You don't need to come to the gym. But yeah, they're trying to maintain it and all, you know, all that. But yeah, it's intimidation for me. I feel like that's what comes into play at the gym. And I feel like the people who are buff and fit, and, you know, I'm kind of getting in their way. If they say on a machine and I need to use that machine, and I feel very weird asking them, like, can I use it next, or are you done with the machine? I really feel like I'm just annoying this person. I feel like they hate me because I'm not as fit as them, so they see that I'm lower, I'm inferior to them. But I don't know. I don't know if they think this, but I believe it. It's a conviction and contradiction, the point of the show. Because I think life is just full of convictions and contradictions, and we don't recognize it as much. But I think we should think about it more. I think it comes up more than we think, but we don't really notice it. And that's kind of the point of this show. I want us to think more about those convictions and contradictions, because we all have them. We just haven't seen it yet, or someone hasn't pointed it out to us yet. So I'm going to be learning about my convictions and contradictions through this show, and I hope you find some in me too, and I hope you relate to what I'm saying, and hopefully you'll see some, like, oh, I think that way too, and you'll start seeing them yourself. I think it'll just help us to understand each other better. Because one of, like, the major goals in life is trying to figure out who you are. But yet, one of the things we say is believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You can do it. Just believe in yourself. But I don't know who that is. I think it's a big problem when it comes to that tradition of high school to university. Because in high school, you're just kind of like regurgitating information. You just need to memorize, comes to the test, write it out. But then when you come to university, those skills are very helpful in university. You learn how to, you know, it's helpful. You can memorize more for, like, big tests, midterms, and things. But I think university is more about learning about yourself, because it's more about your opinions. Well, I guess it kind of depends on what field you go into. But even if you go into, like, science or math, your opinions, who you are, still kind of counts, because you have to decide, like, what kind of area of science or kind of area of math do you want to go into, where you don't really have that choice in high school. But yeah, so I think it's intimidation at a gym. And you won't believe, like, how much time we actually spend in lines and waiting rooms. I remember someone told me once, in high school we had this assembly in the gym, and there was this guest speaker. I forgot his name, I apologize, but it was a while ago. We had this guest speaker, and he told us this statistic about how much time throughout the average lifespan we spend in waiting rooms and waiting lines. I wish I could tell you what the statistic was, but I don't remember what it was. But I do remember this. I remember that it was very shocking. I just remember everybody going like, oh my gosh, it was that high. I can't believe it. Like, what? Really? That much? I just remember all of my classmates doing that. And I think it was in like years. So it was like a few years, maybe 5 or 4 years of our lives that we spend in waiting rooms and in lines and things like that. Okay, so now a little review. So at the gym, I think the issue of seating or standing is more about intimidation. And I think when you're at a university or when you're at when you're in a waiting room, I think it's more gender. It's on gender lines. But then seating takes a turn when it's reserved seating and when it's assigned seating. Like, the ones I talked about first are free will seating. You're a choice seating. But there are others that are reserved seating. Like, I'm sure a lot of us go to the movies. I have not gone to the movies for a long time. But over the summer, I went quite a bit with my brothers. And it wasn't because I wanted to see the movie. I didn't really want to see the movie. What I like about the movie theater is the claw machine. Oh my gosh. Everybody says that the claw machine is rigged. But how can it be rigged when I've won at least 7 times? So, yeah. I understand the argument for why it's rigged. I understand how the claw doesn't perfectly catch on. But that's the challenge of it. So how is it rigged? See, another contradiction. I think it's rigged, but I think it's not rigged. Because I've won many times. My house is full of teddy bears. I have so many. And each one is named after the film that I go to see with my brothers. But what happens at the theater we go to? Like, I'm originally from Surrey, born and raised. And we go to a theater called Strawberry Hill Theater. And it used to be free choice seating. But now it's actually reserved seating and recliner chairs, which I don't think are really necessary, but they're kind of nice. You get to recline. And there's just more space in there. But there's reserved seating where you book it online, and when you come in to buy the tickets, I think you also kind of decide. It's like when you're booking tickets for a concert, you kind of pick the seat and where you're going to be. It's similar to that. So there's reserved seating, and you have to go, you know, have to find your seat, like row C, seat 1, or whatever. And a couple of times that I've gone with my brothers, there's always been someone who, like, comes in and there's this dispute over seating. I say, like, oh, I reserve these seats. No, I reserve these seats. Or it's, I reserve these seats. Oh, I didn't know that they were reserved. So, and then, and you know what's going to happen when that happens. You know, people are going to start yelling, sit down, we're trying to watch the movie, you're distracting all of us, just get out, or... You know, something along those lines. Something like that is going to be said. When it comes to reserved seating, it's just all those problems about, like, gender and intimidation are kind of gone. Because you're just forced to sit there. And the next example would be high school and elementary school. And I will get there, but I want to give you a break from all of my fast speech or rather talking. So I'm just going to play you this really cool song, actually. I like to play only instrumental music on this show, Convictions and Contradictions on CITR 101.9 FM. So yeah, I'm going to save you from my fast speech. So this song is by Film in Music, and the title of the album is Telltale, and this first track is called A Turn of Events. Thank you.
Q2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
What if this summer you did something different? What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at MediaMakingChange.org.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, located on the traditional and unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver and also Point Grey. And I'm Nitsu Da. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, which is almost about to end. But before it does, I'd like to talk about one last thing. I like to talk about seating issues in high school. In high school, it's more like, it's really different in high school because the teacher decides where you sit. I think in high school, the element is actually social standing or peer pressure. Like how I talked before, for those of you who just came on, is that that in a doctor's office or a waiting room or something like that, the issue that most of us think, or I think about, maybe not you, maybe this is all new information for you, maybe I'm creating knowledge here, or maybe I'm just sharing knowledge that we've all had, but I'm finally just letting it all out. But in, like, waiting rooms, the issue is kind of a gender kind of an issue. And then at a gym, it's more intimidation. But in high school, I think it's more social stand. Oh, actually, in university, I think university seating has depends on whether you take written notes or take notes on laptops. Okay, summary is complete. Now we will continue. Usually, the summary comes last, but this show is, as you haven't been able to tell yet, it's very weird, I guess, but I've always been called weird, so I'm using that as an advantage for once. So, high school seating, I think, depends on status and peer pressure, because when you're in the lower levels of high school, the teachers usually decide where you sit. So, what you think about is, like, I don't want to sit next to somebody who I'm not going to get along with, or I don't want to sit next to somebody who's of lower status than me, or higher status of me. But when you get into higher levels of high school, when you're like grade 11, grade 12, or at least in my high school, the teachers started to let us, you know, decide where we're going to sit. But they always gave us this warning, like, don't sit next to somebody who is going to distract you. Don't sit next to somebody who you know is going to influence your studies and you're just going to talk with this person. They always told us this kind of stuff. So it really depended on where you sat. And I think in high school, at least in my high school, I thought, like, the definitions, like, you can kind of tell, like, what status people are in. Like, you know, you can tell, like, what the cliques are. And maybe that wasn't there. But I felt like it wasn't, like, really defined cliques. It wasn't, like, a Mean Girls kind of cliques. It was more like, you know, those who play sports, those who don't play sports, those who, you know, went to the same elementary school are still kind of together, or those who are just really good friends. It was those kinds of statuses, those kinds of categories, really. Well, one of my teachers did. His name is Mr. Kwan. He was my film studies teacher, but he was also my English teacher, I think, for 2 years. I think maybe grade 9 and grade 11, I think he was. Or maybe it was grade 12. But he was my teacher, and he did this really cool thing in his classroom. When he came into his classroom, he had this bucket just full of these little kind of poker kind of chips. And all of them was a number that corresponded to a desk. So all the desks were like numbered from 1 to like 31. So you would walk in and you would pull a number out of the bucket and say it was 17. You would go and you would sit at 17. And we would do this every single day. You would get a new number and you would get a new seat and you would sit to someone different. And the point of it was to get to know all of the classmates. And that was something that Mr. Kwan really focused on. He did that thing, you know, that thing that's really difficult and a little embarrassing. Maybe you guys don't know it. What happens is, like, everybody, say they're sitting in rows or something like that. The first student stands up. They say their name, and they say, oh my gosh, I'm horrible at grammar. They say, like, an adjective. Yes, it's an adjective that goes with their name. Like, I would stand up, and I would say, Nitu Nai, or you would say the adjective first. I'm forgetting. I'm not very good at English. That's why I'm not in the English department. You would say, like, naive Nitu, or nice Nitu, something that started with the first letter of your name. And everybody would do this. So the first person would say theirs, and the next person would have to say theirs and the person before them. And the third person would have to say theirs and the two people before them. And you would just keep going until you got to the end. And once I was at the end, that's not where you want to be. You do not want to be at the end. Because then you have to do every single person in the class. You have to say all of their adjectives and all of your names. And it's a little embarrassing because what if you forget one of them? And you have, like, you have that thought in your head, like, oh my gosh, they're gonna think I'm stupid if I do this. But really, they're thinking the same thing as you. At least this is what I think. I think we all have that thought. But anyway, so Mr. Kwan had this really unique kind of classroom where he eliminated all of that social status, all of that peer pressure of where to sit. Like, when he came into the classroom, where are you gonna sit? Are you gonna sit next to somebody you kind of know, but you guys aren't really close friends? Or are you going to sit in the back and just avoid everybody? Or are you going to sit near the teacher and maybe be called a teacher's pet or something like that? I think some people think that bullying is maybe gone from high schools, but it's still there. Like, in my high school, I wasn't bullied. I don't really know anybody who was bullied a lot. Sure, all of us had, like, you know, little issues or problems, some little ups and downs. But it wasn't because of bullying. It wasn't because someone else hurt us. That wasn't the reason. But bullying still goes on. I kind of had that belief. But then I watched this documentary in Mr. Kwan's film class, actually. It's called Bully. And it's a great documentary. You should watch it. It's very eye-opening, that documentary. But yeah. So, issues of seating. Something that I think all of us observe. I observe, well, I just naturally observe everything. That's something that I like to just do. Like, when people are walking past me, I'm always wondering what they're thinking. Are you thinking the same things I'm thinking? Are you thinking, when you walk into the doctor's office, or if you walk into the gym, are you thinking about seating the way I'm thinking about seating? Do you have those thoughts? Or am I just being selfish and just talking about myself right now? I have really no way to tell. But yeah, that is the show. I have actually gone over the time limit, but I think that is okay. But a little kind of summary before I leave you. Is that this is a new show. I am a new host, and hopefully I did okay today. And the point of this show is, and if you ever listen to me again, on Thursdays 9 to 9:30, which I've gone over bi-weekly because I'm a student, so kind of prioritizing that a little bit more. But what I want you to take away from this show is that I would like or suggest that you pay more to convictions and contradictions in our society. And to you yourself, think about your convictions and contradictions. That's kind of the whole point of this show. And that's what I would like people to think more of. And yeah, I think that's kind of important to think about. It's important to kind of think about, you know, think about what we believe in. And that's what I want this show to be, and hopefully you'll tune in again. So, that's the show. This is Convictions and Contradictions, also known as CC, the first ever radio show that is subtitled. And if you're not getting the subtitles in your car or on your computer, then you know that I mean that ironically.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
CM,